The Women of Ill Repute, with your hosts, Wendy Mesley and Maureen Holloway.
Everybody loves a drag queen, or at least they used to.
A little bit of show voice there, which it was fine. Yeah, but at least they used to. It's so true, Maureen. Like, maybe not everyone loves a drag queen anymore. There's the RuPaul, the Drag Race show, performers like Dame Edna, shows like Kinky Boots, Hairspray. They made a real difference. I thought we were getting somewhere.
Well, I thought, well, you know, it goes back. Drag is not a, like the ballet Trocadero, the, you know, the men who dance and Some Like It Hot, the movie.
Mrs. Doubtfire. That was
Tootsie. That Tootsie with Dustin Hoffman.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
And Hedwig and the Angry Inch. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen that, but I'm familiar with what it is.
Oh, it's so good. I did a couple of shows with drag queens. I wasn't with them. I was emceeing an event, and they were the entertainment. And drag queens are consummate performers. I mean, they look amazing. They tell me a lot about makeup. I can tell you that.
Yeah, but you know what? These are really, they're dark times for drag queens and the trans community in general. Anyone who identifies as queer or people who want to support people who are identify as queer. There are legislative bans against drag people in the U.S. right now. I think in Tennessee in particular, it's unbelievable. Yeah.
It's not just the U.S. Here in Canada, people have been protesting drag queen story hours, you know, where drag queens read to kids in libraries. And the whole point is to spread messages of inclusiveness and acceptance.
Yeah, so it's part of a way bigger problem, a growing lack of tolerance. And that's why we're really happy to speak to Scarlett Bobo. I don't know how she's going to show up, whether she's...
I don't know. Scarlett is a drag performer, born Matthew Cameron, originally from Ottawa, and Scarlett has been working to pass a provincial bill supported by the NDP here in Ontario that would prohibit acts of violence and intimidation near drag venues, which seems to be such like obvious, but apparently a bill needs to be passed.
So Scarlett, she was also a top three finalist on season one of Canada's Drag Race, kind of a big deal. She helped create Absolute Vodka's, their Empire Ball, Toronto's most inclusive drag competition, kind of a cool thing.
So many questions. So Matthew has moved to LA. This is, I guess, Scarlett's alter ego. We'll find out which one is dominant. But just before we get to Scarlett, I put our names in the drag queen generator. Queen name. I don't know what yours is. Dear.
This is old. Is this old timey?
Yeah. So it's completely random. So I'm now known as a drag queen. My name would be Ophelia Macaroon.
Ophelia Macaroon. Well, that's not too bad. It's.
Do you
I don't know
what
if
yours
you're gonna
is.
Make a big career out of that. What am I?
You are Felicia LePew. Bye bye, Felicia. And hello to Scarlett Bobo. So I was just going to say, you're a very cute man. At what point did you say, yeah, you are. At what point did you say, wow, I could be a stunning woman?
Oh, you know, it was Halloween. I was like 16 because I was going out to the clubs underage because I guess that's what you do when you're 16 and gay and living in Ottawa. And so then my mom... She said to me, the first day I came home after going to a gay bar for the fake ID, she was waiting for me. And she was like, I will never forgive you for this. I said, what? I'm so sorry. She went, you went to your first gay bar without me. And she was so mad at me. And so she put me in drag. So I guess my mom is my real drag mom. She made me a slutty nurse for Halloween. She was Marilyn Monroe. And we went out to the club. And then everyone was like, you look so good. You look so good. And I really didn't. Like, I was like totally busted. But everyone was like, oh my God, you look so good. You should try drag sometime. Like, you should do this, like, you know, you should do a show. And I said, oh yeah, maybe I'll try it out. And I did. And then I loved it. I loved the attention. I loved like just dressing up and just being so glamorous and, you know, dancing around to like my favorite song on stage with all my friends around. It was fun. And then it got like addicting. And I was like, ooh, I could do this all the time.
So when did you become our, I don't know if we're launching into the whole thing right now, but I want to know, when did you become Scarlett Bobo? Like, when did you start doing that?
That started probably quickly after I started doing drag. So I did drag when I was like 16. So yeah, I was 16. I was turning 17 because it was Halloween. And then I did a show and I had one of the Bobos paint me for the first time. So then they were like, well, and Tenora Bobo was my drag mother and she wanted a drag daughter so bad. And Jeanette Bobo, who is like, rest in peace, who is the head of the Bobos. Like she started the whole Bobo family like 40 years ago. And she said, no, I don't want any more like Bobos running around. And she said, yeah, she's like, no more. These are too much. And she said, please, please, just me. And then I came around and I'm the most popular too. And the most pretty.
I don't want any more children.
But then they're like, well, Bobo's going to be your last name. So what is going to be your first name? And then Bobo's like Bobo the Clown. It's funny. It's silly. It means stupid in Spanish. And then Scarlett kind of was like the sexy, like I thought Scarlett Johansson, Scarlett O'Hara, you know, Scarlett Letter, like just color red. And then it kind of just came to be. And then someone said Scarlett Bobo. And I said, yep, that's it.
Oh, and there you be. Yeah, we were wondering how you were going to show up. Would you be like Scarlett with the wig and the lashes and the whatever? But you're kind of beautiful this way too.
Thank you.
That's the evening, Scarlett. So Wendy and I were talking about, we've worked with drag shows. I've emceed events where the entertainment's been drag reviews. And back in the olden days, and I'm only talking about maybe 10, 20 years ago, drag queens were called female impersonators, and they almost, I mean, I'm just preaching to the choir here, but there was always a Tina Turner, there was a Barbara Streisand, there was a Dolly Parton, any of these women. But now I feel certainly from watching RuPaul's Drag Race and so on, that they're, you create your own persona now, a unique persona. How is Scarlett different from you?
Well, so I do a lot of female impersonation as well. But like the old school queens, like, you know, that was their, like, they would go by their real name. Like they would be like Chris Edwards or they'd be like Eddie Barnett. But Eddie Barnett was known for only doing Cher. Like she's like the most popular Cher in Canada, pretty much. Well, at least in Ontario. And, you know, she was in Toronto. She had a whole career of just doing Cher. And so that's kind of how like I kind of, they taught me how to do drag, was like find people that you like admire and that you look up to, that like mean something to you, and kind of like try to embody them and impersonate them. And I definitely feel like that like shines through my drag a lot. Like I try to always be like my mom, my mother. I try to always be like, you know, Pink. Pink's really badass. And you know, but then I love being like, I think of Marilyn Monroe because she was a big part of my life because my mom was a huge fan of hers. We've always had Marilyn Monroe photos everywhere. So that was kind of like my glamorous side. But then kind of Scarlett became its own character. Like, I feel like Scarlett's like a part of Maddie, but like she's got the balls to do everything that I don't.
Interesting. you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Even though I tucked them away. Maybe that's why. Maybe putting them back inside me like turns into makes it like my superhero or something. I get super strength. I don't know.
Sure.
But but yeah, like I feel like Scarlett's just like more daring and more out there, more loud, and you know, and I feel like as Maddie, I could be like kind of an introvert sometimes. And sometimes I just wanna like, you know, tuck away in the corner and like, you know, be at home with my dog and my fiance. But Bobo is like the big, loud, bigger than life. And so what's the hair? Like, what's I see myself with the makeup? And I throw the lashes on, the wig on. Then it's like history. Like, I'm just like, woo! Totally just transforms.
I was reading about RuPaul because, you know, I started researching and then went down a complete rabbit hole with RuPaul because he, she, I'm not sure he's really chosen a pronoun, but the quotes from him, from her are amazing. I think one that I really loved was that we're all born naked and everything else is drag. And Maureen and I were talking about, like, I used to be an anchor on the news and I used to wear like false eyelashes and go into makeup and what's the difference really?
Honestly, like, that's your drag, honey. You know what I mean? Like, that's your way of like putting on like kind of like your it's like your war paint, right? Like, and then you're going to go take on the day and take on a job and take on whatever you do, you know, take on the news, take on the world, take on a stage, you know? So it's just like a heightened version of that, really. It's like, to me, drag, like, anyone could do drag, and drag is in everybody. You know what I mean? Everybody on Halloween, like, that's drag. You know what I mean? Like, dressing up as your favorite character or like your favorite, you know what I mean? Like, how many Jessica Rabbits run around or Harley Quinns run around during Halloween, right? So it's kind of like, it is, yeah. Like, you know, we're all born naked and the rest is drag, because everything can be drag, and drag is everything. It's such a show. It's a spectacle. It's exciting. You know what I mean? It's just here to like promote happiness and love and acceptance. And, you know, you can find that in everything.
You can, but this is okay. So taking a more serious note to this, and you, somebody said, might have been RuPaul, because, you know, they're eminently quotable, but something to do with just putting on drag is being an activist. And yet you have found yourself taking this to the next level, because what has happened, what has been happening over the last year or two, it goes back a little further, but now there's actual legislation in the states banning wearing drag anywhere where a child might see you. And here in Canada, of course, we've had people protesting a drag queen story hour. And you've been very involved with the NDP in passing. And it just seems so stupid that we need to pass a bill that will prevent violence.
Hate crimes.
And to prevent hate against drag queens.
People from attacking us.
It's scary. So you say that Maddie's an introvert, but Scarlett's the one who's going to get up there and fight. And Scarlett has gotten up there and is fighting. Tell us about what you're doing.
Yeah, well, I've always been an activist since I was younger. So, like, my mom always taught me, just like, everyone should feel loved and everyone should feel respected and safe. And when I would see people from different minority groups, you know, struggle and not have the same things that I had, even me by being in like a minority group as well, I was just like, this isn't fair. Like, why is it like this? Why can't it be like this? So I've always been just trying to do my part in changing the world little by little to, you know, be a happier, safer place for myself and for others, for everybody. Everyone deserves a chance to feel and the opportunity to feel safe and respected. And sorry, you asked me how I still got started. Sorry, I went on a rant.
You know, it's just how you got. So did you approach
Kristen Wong Tam was the one who sponsored the bill. Yeah, about making drag places safe, performances safe.
Yeah. So my fiance Peter Maragos, he worked in politics for many, many, many years as an executive assistant to one of the MPPs, Han Dong. And so through that, I met a bunch of political people through him. And then there'd be times where like the politics and drag kind of cross over. Like, I hosted like the annual AIDS walk, and Mary Jo Torrey was there, and Kristen Wong Tam was there. And then so Peter started talking to Kristen, and then Kristen's like, who's this? I'm like, oh, I'm Scarlett, I'm the host, but I'm also dating Peter. So we've kind of like always mixed together, and I was never very political. I was always like an activist, but Peter got me into politics, and he knew Kristen. So he reached out to Kristen, and because I was just going on and on about how all these bills are popping up and how it's just like seeing drag go from underground to mainstream and then like going backwards again is just like blowing my head apart. So he was like, I don't want to see like this. Like, we're going to do something. We need to figure something out. And so he contacted Kristen's office, and Kristen and Merritt Stiles met with us, and we had a big list of, it was 3 pages long of every link and incident that's been going on in Canada. And not in Canada, sorry, even in like the GTA. And Yeah. And so she brought up this bill and she said, you know, we've been sitting on this for a minute and we need some help pushing this out. And I was like, okay, let's go. I want to do this. I want to see this happen. And it is a blanket bill, but it's just so the government can like say, we're helping you. Like, yes, we are going to protect you. If this is what it takes, like, you know, we baby steps, but the fact that we even need this at all is ridiculous. But
yeah, I find it really strange.
But someone tried to burn down a library with children inside it. Yeah, like because there was a drag story hour.
Where was this?
I think that was
in Tennessee.
Yeah, like wow. This. Sorry for my language. The shit is crazy, and it's like, and we're not doing anything wrong. We're just existing, and people are just so mad at us for nothing. I've been called groomer. I've been called a pedophile on like social media and stuff, and it's just like, what? Like, it's just, it blows my mind.
I was really struck by, you know, you say that growing up in Ottawa, I mean, obviously your mom has been really supportive, which is amazing. wants to go party with you, which is amazing.
Yeah. Oh, she loves it.
Yeah. But that when you were growing up, like 10 years ago, whatever, you still look young and
fresh.
And beautiful. Yeah. But that we've basically gone back, that you've like lost space, that you've lost respect, and that that before you used to feel free to, well, not free, but you didn't, and now you're terrified. So what the hell is going on?
Yeah, like I remember starting doing drag like 16 years ago, and I like it was like in the basement, down the, you know, over there, down the hallway, like it was, all the gay clubs were always in the basement, or they were like tucked away in the alley or something. And it was all very underground. And oh my God, the amount of times I've been throwing beer bottles at me when I was younger, because people would just not understand what this was. And then RuPaul's Drag Race came about. And then, you know, it brought drag into like the light. It brought drag to during the day. It brought drag to like mainstream media and TV. And then, you know, I'm touring around the world doing drag and doing what I love to do. And I never, ever thought that would ever happen. And now that it is, like, that's cool. And I don't want to lose that. But I'm watching it, like, I'm watching us, like, revert and go backwards. And it blows my mind. I cannot believe that we're, like, we're actually like stepping backwards and we have to have these bills. It's like, we've been around forever on all your TVs and like billboards. And like, I've been in a billboard like 3 times in Young Adundas, you know, like, I'm like, what, why now? And I think it's a lot to do with this whole like Trump mafia. And now they're just so angry for anything, you know, and they just want everything to be fucking boring and white and hetero. And if you test that limit even a little bit, that's it. You're a pedophile now. You're a groomer. You're this. You're coming after our children. Like,
I think it's fear. You know, a racist, a bigot, a homophobe, a transphobe. They all are angry, and anger comes from fear. I mean, they're afraid of something. And, you know, there's that old trope that, oh, you're homophobic because you're probably homosexual. I don't even think it's that simple, although there may be some truth to that, you know, and you're afraid of attractions that have not been socially condoned. Who knows what it is, but it is getting worse. Nobody really knows why. It's not just drag queens, it's the trans community. It's anybody who identifies as queer. It's anybody who has a child who's queer. It's terrible, and it's a frightening, frightening world for people who are different. That's not a question. That's just me up on a soapbox.
Yeah, no, it's true. And especially right now, the trans community is under attack the most right now. And I think it stems from that. Now they're looking at drag queens and they're kind of putting everybody in one bubble, like, oh, if you're a drag queen, if you're trans, if you're this, you're just evil, evil, evil. And they're not going to stop at all. So that's why we need these legislations. We need these terrible legislations to go away. We need these bills like like Crystal Montana's bill to go through, just so the government can say to us, like, we're okay. Like, you know what I mean? Because if not, then people are just going to, when these bills are getting passed, then it's just going to give people the sense of like, oh, see, we were right. They are bad. Look, now the government thinks they're bad. So now they have to be bad.
Hey there. Just so you know, Mo and I are not just the queens of podcasting.
I'm not sure we're even that, but do go on.
We're not part-time cowgirls.
We just made that up.
But we are writers. We're writers.
Wendy and I write a newsletter on Substack. It's a weekly roundup of thoughts and experiences, sometimes serious, often not.
Yeah, you're pretty funny. You write about falling down a lot. You write about your dog.
I do. You write about sex and politics and COVID.
All very, very serious things. We have a few thousand subscribers, both free and paid.
And you could be one of them if you'd like. Just go to Substack.com. and look us up by name, or go to our website at womenofillrepute.com and sign up there. We'd love to meet you there.
And now back to being the queens of podcasting.
Yeah, sure.
The Women of Ill Repute.
I'm really struck by sort of the link in so many people's heads between sexuality, gender, drag queens, and all of that.
And trans people. Yeah. It's not one community.
Yeah. And all of this stuff about being a groomer or being a pedophile, like, where on earth, like, did we not get rid of that? That, because it was such a false characteristic that was a trope that was assigned to gay men. And I thought we got rid of that, but now it's back and it's applied to drag queens. It's applied to trans people, the whole groomer pedophile thing. And I guess the whole story time thing is huge in Ontario. And I just wonder, like, I was looking for, trying to find a quasi intelligent statement from a protester who is bothered by the story time thing in libraries. And it says, this protester says, a drag queen is more appropriate for cabarets. It's up to parents to discuss sexuality with their children. Like, why does it always come back to sex? And what do you say to that person? Is like, no, don't have a drag queen in the library.
it's crazy, because like a drag queen dressing up like a Little Mermaid or Belle, like a drag queen dressing up as a fake make-believe character, reading books about fake things to children, is not sexual at all. And the thing is, yes, parents should be the ones to talk to their kids about sexuality, but they don't. And the majority of parents don't. And they don't know how to. And they're not educated properly. And they just don't care enough to actually do what's right and talk to their children about this. And it's the parents that are bringing the kids to our story times. Like, they're the ones booking these story times. And they're the ones organizing this. Making their choices.
Yeah. Like, they want their kids to hear something different. That's, it's not just straight people.
And somehow it all came down on us. And it's like, we showed up for a gig. We showed up and, you know, and we read our books. It's just so crazy. It's how, like, some of these girls don't even get paid. They just do it out of the kindness of their heart and get up at the crack of dawn and throw on makeup to go read to other people's kids because they enjoy doing things in their community. And it's just flipped around so much. And yes, like, for instance, my drag, I usually do a cabaret show because my drag is more of an adult entertainment crowd. Do I have things for an all ages crowd? Of course I do. I have my characters and my funny bits and stuff like that. But, you know, I choose to do that. But if parents want to expose their children to love, acceptance, happiness, then let them. And that there are so many amazing drag artists that frequent storytime hours or all ages drag brunches, and it's amazing. And they love what they do, and they love the kids, and the parents love it. The kids are happy. The kids get all dressed up in their little princess costumes and stuff. And I've done a couple all ages brunches, and some of these kids, like, that have seen me on TV, like, they go absolutely, like, bonkers, and it literally makes me cry. Like, they're so adorable. And I just don't understand where this whole, like, where this hate came from. And it's like, why do you care? It's not your kid. If, and I always keep saying, I keep saying to people, if you don't want to come, don't come. If you don't want to look at it, don't look at it. Like, then go home and leave us alone. That's, we just want to be left alone. Like just literally go away. If you don't want your kid to be seeing that, then don't. But if that parent, it wants to show their kids this or that, like, I'm pretty sure I watched movies. I shouldn't have when I was younger. You know, we've got parents throwing their little kids in bikinis and makeup and fake hair to do beauty pageants. Like, you know, and then you're talking about sexualizing like children. It's like, we're reading a storybook, you know? And if you don't like it, then leave it alone. That's not your kid. Why are you talking about someone else's kid for? Like, it's weird.
So is Canada bad? We hear about there's the ban in Tennessee. Is Canada?
It's getting quite bad. Yeah, they've definitely started protesting. They've been breaking windows. They've been shouting like awful things. Like when out of libraries, like when parents and their kids come out of the library, they just are yelling awful, awful things in front of like young kids, like all, like terrible slurs that like kids should never hear. It's like, you're the ones endangering these children, not the parents trying to like get them away from a crazy mob of angry men yelling at children.
So are you scared again? Are you, because as a kid you were?
Oh yeah. I'm constantly looking over my shoulder now. But my mom put me in kickboxing when I was younger and I continued to do kickboxing. So I'm okay. But I definitely look over my shoulder all the time now. And it's not a fun place to be in. It's like, and now like with the Pulse shooting, the anniversary was just 2 days ago. And the anniversary of the Pulse nightclub shooting, which was 49 of her brothers and sisters dead. And, you know, I'm scared. And living in two blocks up the street, there's a sign that says, "We don't call the police, no trespassing," with a gun on it. I'm like,
well,
cool.
Yeah,
America. I
know. Like, this is Los Angeles, which is apparently, you know, more liberal than other places, but
yeah. And I'm in California, like, but now I have to, now when I walk into a bar, I always look at my exits. I always look at, where's my nearest exit? How can I get to the nearest exit? And sometimes I'm like paranoid and I'm like, I will stand and dance and have my drink, like buy an exit. Like, that's not the way that anyone should live their lives. And that's not fair.
It's not fair.
You know?
Well, we thought everything was changing with RuPaul and everybody else with the sort of mainstreaming of it as an art form.
Basically. It is an art
form. It's just a reality show with a bit more glitter, like really. But it's worse now.
Yeah, but you know, the good thing is I was just talking to the Globe and Mail about this. I said, back then it was just us that were fighting for us, you know? And now we have you ladies, we have allies, we have so many other people that drag has, you know, shone on their lives, and just people have come up to you saying, "Drag's changed my life," like straight women, straight men. Like, you know, I see dads with their little kids at drag con walking, and their little kids are like, "Oh my god, dad, that's so and so, that's so and so." And it's adorable. So we now, there's more of us than there is them. Like, there's more allies now, there's more people on our side, there's more people that will take the time to listen to us and listen to what we have to say. And I think that's super important, that we're stronger together, you know, unity in the community. And our community is bigger and more colorful now with so many allies from other minority groups, so many straight allies. It's changing. The world is still changing.
That's what pride has accomplished, a lot of that. Hey, can we ask you some, as a couple of, you know, nice white middle-aged cisgendered ladies, can we ask you?
Is this about eyelashes? I hope this is not about eyelashes.
No, it is a couple of things. How long does it take you to do a full makeup?
If I'm taking my time, probably like 2 hours. Like, from like, that's from like start to finish, like with my wig on and like with my outfit on. So I guess probably like an hour and a half with my makeup. I could do it quickly. Like I could do like a quick half an hour phase if I'm late or if I need to. But yeah, usually I like to take my time because I like to like be at all. So usually about like an hour and a half, I think. 2 hours from like shaving to like ready to leave the door.
Wendy, jump in anytime. So where do you shopping?
Where am I shopping for clothes?
Yeah.
Well, you're in LA now.
So. Well, a lot of my clothes are custom. So I get a lot of my clothes from like custom designers. Like I work with Jeff Christensen from Toronto a lot. I like work with Howie B from LA. But then we at Santee Alley, we have Santee Alley in LA. And it's like drag heaven. Like you can get like 12 pairs of lashes for like $10. I'm not kidding. You can get like the craziest shiny glitter hooker boots for like $30.
Wow.
So we love me some Santee Alley.
Okay. I'll make a note. So, I can't wear high heels. Can you run in them? Cause you might have to.
Oh yeah, I can run in them. Some of my shoes I call my running heels because like I will be clumsy like walking around like in my flat shoes, but then once I'm in a heel.
Wow. That's a real skill right there.
I could wear high heels when I was younger.
Yeah, I could too. Yeah. I could too. I could run. I remember Sarah Jessica Parker said her Manolos are like slippers. I'm like, really? I don't know if I would buy that. But yeah, I used to be able to wear them, you know, all night. Now forget about it. Who are you? Who are your inspirations?
Aside from Marilyn Monroe, sounds like
in drag, but in general,
definitely Marilyn. My mom, Pink, the artist Pink. I love comic books. I love Sailor Moon. All those girls really get me going, inspire me. I love Harley Quinn. Harley Quinn's probably my favorite character. She's wacky and crazy, but nice, but psycho, but bad. I like strong women. I like, you know, seeing like strong figures in pop culture. Beyonce, for instance, you know, just someone that fearless women of pop culture, you know, really inspire me.
And you're getting married.
Yes. I was supposed to be married in May 2020 and that didn't happen.
Is this a COVID thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My son was supposed to be married. Yeah. It was a COVID thing.
Yeah. And then when we tried to plan our wedding, we both went on tour for almost a year. We were all out touring around the world. So then we kept pushing it back. But now we're just debating going to Vegas.
What, no party?
Oh, we're going to have a party. But I'm thinking why don't we just like go do it in Vegas? And then like, instead of having to plan a wedding, we can just plan like a big party back home in Toronto with all of our friends rather than like, I don't know. We're figuring it out.
What's better then? Is it because you used to live in Toronto, I think, right? You grew up in Ottawa and now you're in LA.
Yeah, for 13 years I was living in Toronto. And then I spent 3 years in Vancouver.
Yeah. So, I mean, why did you leave us?
Well, yeah. Where are you? Where are you ladies?
We're in Toronto.
Cool. Yeah, I got my work visa. And as soon as my work visa came in, I got like, whoa, my God, I can go work in the States. And I got really excited. And I've been coming to LA for 10 years. And the last couple of years have been really, really good for me here. Definitely, I think, because of the show.
Canada's Drag Race, you mean?
Yeah, really, really, really shot me up in my career. And then all these opportunities for me were popping up in LA. And I've got a couple of really good friends here. And a nice core group of people. So it kind of just felt like I've done everything in Toronto for 13 years. I took over Vancouver for 3 years. Then I went back to Toronto for about like 8 months, a year. And I wanted to see like if I wanted to do Toronto again. And it just wasn't the same. And everything felt the same. Everything felt like I've done this. And I felt like I was repeating myself. And honestly, Hollywood was the next like thing. It was the next natural step for me to push myself and to do something scary. And now I'm living in Hollywood.
And you're a superstar. Well, yeah. No, it's lovely to see you. And this is Pride Month.
Happy Pride.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah. So it's Pride. I didn't realize that it was all like everyone's heard of the raids, Stonewall, which was what, 50, 55 years ago. But that's why it's in June. I didn't realize, because the parades are all different months depending on which city you tend to live in.
It's also a good month for Pride, you know, because the weather's nice. And
I know. Do you know what's crazy? It has been gray all of June.
Oh, really?
In LA. And I'm like, I thought I moved to LA. Where is the sun? What is going on here?
I think you've brought it, Maddie. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And finding the time. Good luck with everything. And let's hope that the world reopens to anybody who wants to be themselves.
And it will. It will. Mark my words, it will.
Yeah, you promise?
All right.
Thank you so much. Yes. And honestly, thank you for taking the time to talk with me and shining a light on these issues. It's really important to have allies like you both.
Yeah. It's great to have you on the show. Thank you.
Thank you.
She was lovely.
That's what we say about everybody.
She was lovely.
Yeah, she was lovely. Although she didn't appear as a she appeared as a they. I wasn't sure, you know, because it's a lot of work putting on the wig and the eyelashes and everything. But yeah, she, Matthew, Maddie, Scarlett Bobo, they.
Hey, I think Matthew is the Maddie. Maddie is they and Scarlett is she. But they are, you know, like we said off the top, wow, you're a really cute guy.
Yeah, who was sometimes a drag queen, often a drag queen. And I'm so glad that their mom has been so supportive. I mean, that's so cool. I mean, some of the best times I had were in gay clubs, but my kid, well, who knows? But it was so lovely to hear that they haven't had that battle.
No. And I think that's really important. I mean, I know that there are a lot of people out there who reject their children if they are trans or, and I can't even imagine. I mean, I have two sons. They happen to, be straight. But I can't imagine ever having a problem if they were anything but. And Maddie's such a lovely person. So I'm really glad that they have a wonderful mom and lots of fans and a wonderful fiance and a fantastic career. And
well, it doesn't sound like being a runner up on Canada's Drag Race has hurt them at all.
Not at all. No, they're pretty happy and getting married. A lovely bride.
I know. Well, I'm going to call up the mom and see if we can get invited.
Yeah, that would be cool. Be in Toronto.
Women of Ill Repute was written and produced by Maureen Holloway and Wendy Mesley, with the help from the team at the Sound Off Media Company and producer Yet Belgraver.
I'm Matt Kundle, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent. Almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.